By the way, Steve, you had the number of, it was interesting, the math on a mortgage relative to the interest rates. Mm-hmm. And you can you do that for us one more time?
This is on a $400,000 home with a 20% down payment.
Right.
At the beginning of the year, the monthly mortgage payment was $1,400. Now it's $1,976.
Well, it would be if you had, say, some sort of variable rate that was changing that quickly. But
No. This is the 30-year fixed mortgage rate.
Well, if it's a fixed mortgage rate, then you've locked in at $1,400.
Well, I know. No, I'm saying is if you got the 30-year fixed at the beginning of the year,
right.
That's when you started versus starting right now.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Got that. And then Pete just shared with me kind of a reverse version of that. That is, based on what you can afford, how much less house are you now able to get? You just showed us how much your mortgage payment would go up if you weren't so fortunate to lock in that rate sooner. Mm-hmm. What about if you've got, let's do the opposite version of that. I'll square with you here in just a minute. It's time for the Wintrust Business Lunch, and Terry Savage joins us too. It's Wednesdays. By the way, so Steve just said that $400,000 home that you were able to get at a pretty good interest rate at the beginning of the year would cost you $1,400 a month. But now with interest rates around 6%, it's $1,976 a month were you to originate the loan now. The reverse of that is this. If someone could afford the monthly payment on a $450,000 home at a 3% interest rate, the equivalent payment at 6% interest rate only affords you a $316,000 home. If you are at your limit, say, and a lot of folks kind of do, on the $450,000 home, you could afford it at 3%. That's how much money you had to spend. Now you're only going to get a $316,000 home. Terry, I don't suppose those numbers surprise you, eh?
No, that doesn't surprise me. And guess what? The home builders know it. Their report came out, their sentiment report came out this morning saying their home builders' confidence have sunk to the lowest level in 2 years. They know that people are priced out of the market. That and the fact that many people who thought their home prices would go up and up so they would wait to sell, they're all realizing, oh, we better put it on the market now. We'll cool the housing market very quickly, and that's what higher interest rates were designed to do.
When we talk about, though, inflation, we're not usually talking about mortgages, are we?
Well, we're talking about interest rates, and the 10-year Treasury note, which is what the banks base the mortgage rates on, has jumped to a high today. It's trading at 3.4%. It seems like just a couple of weeks ago, it was finally 2.5%. And for a long time, we were talking about it at 1.5%. And in the middle of the pandemic, when everything sort of ground to a halt, it was about a half of 1%. So we've seen the largest, or steepest actually, increase in interest rates in 40 years. And that translates, I mean, thank you, David Hochberg, for waiving the fees on those VA loans, loans to veterans. But all mortgage lenders are immediately translate that 10-year Treasury, which is a huge global market, and trades all day long. I mean, it's our national debt. It's a big hunk of our national debt, 10-year Treasury notes, IOUs. And the world trades those. And when interest rates go up because they fear inflation or they know the Fed's going to push rates higher, that translates immediately to every mortgage, every new mortgage that's going to be made today, tomorrow, or the next day.
Hmm. At least the market's not taking another dive today.
It's waiting. We're all waiting.
Oh, let me have that. Let me just have that. Just give me a day where it's a little bit green. You think it's going to go red tomorrow?
Wait, it's up 0.5% today, the S&P 500. Mm-hmm. It has been down 10% in the last 5 trading days.
Well, I know that. That's why I'm trying to say something good.
You want to say something? Then I'm going to change the subject.
Right.
I, on behalf of Orion and also all commodities and agriculture people, you gave a report about the price of eggs going up. So maybe you want to have a chicken coop in your backyard. And who was it? Steve, who said, but beware the roosters?
Yeah.
I would like to announce, even a city girl like me, having dealt with futures and the financial markets, knows you do not need a rooster for a hen to lay eggs.
I was wondering about that. I thought, well, then where are we going to get the eggs?
No, you do not need a rooster for a hen to lay eggs. You need a rooster if you want to raise chickens and fertilize those eggs. But you don't want those in your breakfast eggs anyway. So go out and get some chicks.
I thought, that's such a stupid question, John. Don't say it on the radio. Don't say it on the radio. But I'm glad you brought that up for me, because I thought, well, I think we're going to need some of those roosters around with the eggs.
I remember when that was explained to me so many years ago, how embarrassed I felt when I asked that naively. But wait, don't you need a rooster? And this commodities person looked at me and said, Terry.
It's 12:16. Okay, here we go. 312-981-7200. Terry's got another column out, of course, and you've got questions. 312-981-7200. Call or text right now. Terry Savage on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Terry Savage on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Terry, you've been writing about inflation lately and the stocks as well. Anything else you want to say?
No, it's just an interesting, I mean, literally the entire financial world is holding its breath, because a little less than an hour ago, from now, the Fed will announce, Jay Powell will announce that they are going to raise rates. And the big question is it going to be 50 basis points? That's like a 0.5%, which is what they've told us and they promised us, and this was their plan. Even in recent days, we saw consumer prices up, wholesale prices go up. We had a lot of news about inflation. Will they maybe raise the rate 75 basis points, 0.75%? Some pundits on Wall Street are saying, oh, just raise it 1% and get it over with, you know, to really show that you mean to break the back of inflation. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on a motorboat, a speedboat, but when you steer a boat like that, it's really easy to overcorrect. I mean, you think, oh my gosh, I got to turn, and then you go way off to one side and then way off to the other. This is the Fed's problem. It doesn't want to overreact to the latest numbers, because there are some signs out there that things might be slowing a bit. Things like, we had retail sales out this morning, and yes, sales are still growing, but not as much as been expected. And where was it weak? Some of it was in autos. Well, then they said, yeah, but that's because we can't get cars, so because of supply chain problems. Okay, so those sales might be weak. But how about big ticket items like stereos and, you know, music equipment, stuff like that? Some softening of the economy, maybe because inflation, which is a tax, is taking such a bite out of budgets, consumers will slow their spending. So the Fed's saying, maybe it's working a little bit, what we've been doing. And on the other side, you have, oh my goodness, there's a lot happening out there in this inflation front, and we can't control oil prices, it's global. And food prices, I just saw a headline, I think it was on CNN, about a worldwide famine. We don't even think about the fact that Ukraine grows so much wheat. It's all, yeah, it's not being planted, harvested, yeah, it's blocked at the ports. So you're going to see famine headlines happening. And the Fed can't deal with that.
What's the best case scenario for this announcement today relative to the markets and stock prices? If we want to see the values of our 401ks stop taking a nosedive, do we want them to do 0.5 point or 0.75 point?
See, that's really the critical question, isn't it, John? First of all, it will be volatile no matter what they say. People will be disappointed if it was only 50 basis points. The market will say, oh my gosh, overkill. If it's 75 basis points, that's really going to slow the economy, slow business, slow profits, bad for the market. I predict that the hour, and in fact, you know what? I'm going to come back and talk to you a little after one, after this announcement, after we see how the market reacts. It'll be before the Fed's press conference, or perhaps during it, but we will see how the market reacts. But this is not a day to be saying, I'm going to get in or out. This is going to be a volatile couple of hours after the Fed makes its announcement. And we'll just have to see how it shakes out.
Well, let's do that. Here's a question for you from one of our listeners. 312-981-7200. Jump in now. 630 says, I got an extra $500 a month. Should I put it in a 401k, or should I put it towards the 13 years left on my mortgage? I'm 56 years old.
Okay. Well, number one, I hope, John, you remember, not this year in January, February, and March, but last year my big theme was refinance your mortgage 3 1/8%, 3 1/4%.
Yeah.
I hope your mortgage rate is under 4%, and there is no reason at this point to put the extra money there. And in your 401k, I hope you get a match That's like putting $1,000 in. If you put your $500 in and your company matches it, or maybe it matches only 50% of it, but still, put it in the 401k.
But the reservation about that is that it might. But if that's going into equities, here's how you turn $500 into $400. Put it in the market right now.
But this, I think the caller said he or she was 50 years old.
Yeah, 56.
Okay, you know what? You've got a minimum of 10 more years till you're going to retire. And in retirement, another 20 years. America's going to be here. And today's 32,000 on the Dow, more or less, or 30,000, I should say, 500. It's going to look like nothing in 15 years. That's for sure. America's going to survive this. So you might as well continue to put it in your plan.
Good advice from Terry Savage. Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist, joins us on Wednesdays at this time. You can check her out anytime at terrysavage.com. Calls and texts are ready for you, Terry. Anything else you want to say before we go?
No, I meant it when I said the markets are holding their breath collectively to see what the Fed does. And when I thought of when you said to me, so then what happens afterwards?
Yeah.
This is a don't play in traffic warning. This is not the moment to decide, okay, that's great, I'll get in, or okay, I'm going to take this opportunity to get out no matter what happens. It's going to be very volatile. I can promise you that.
Okay, but I know that I asked you this, and then you said, well, let's wait and just see. We'll find out soon enough. But I mean, if they raise it half a point, the markets will go down. If they raise it
I don't know that.
Okay.
Because
some
people want the Fed to be tough and stick to its plan, and so they'll go, yay, good Fed.
You're telling me there's some weakening. I've got to wait a half an hour to get an answer to this question?
Probably till the end of the day, till we see how it all shakes out, really. Because there are some people, smart people, who say, you know what? Things are slowing down. The Fed should just stick to its guns. They shouldn't act like they care about the market or they worry about the market.
Yeah.
And there are others who say, hey, the Fed had a little bit of a leak. There was a story earlier this week because the Fed had, remember, said, well, oh, no, we're not going to do 75 basis points in answer to Steve Leisman's question after their last press conference. We're going to stick with 50. So there are some people who say, well, the Fed leaked the thought of 75 basis points earlier this week because they don't want to scare the market. Is this a really multi-gazillion dollar guessing game now? I'm fascinated with it. Other people just really care about, I mean, I don't know, is basketball season still on or something like that?
No, I think what they care about is retail. For instance, listen to this, 815. Well, then why aren't savings interest rates going up?
Okay, here you go.
Money market and CD rates aren't rising.
Okay. The banks aren't lending money. They don't need to attract your money. They are not giving away toasters. So the short-term interest rate market, well, we see two-year treasury notes moving up in yield in that big marketplace to about, they're around a little over 2%. And you see 10-year yields in that big open interest rate market moving up. Now, the fact is that there is no interest. Short-term interest rates remain very low. The Fed is starting to suck money out of the economy as well as raise rates. That's another whole story, like a big vacuum. They sell the bonds they own and pay. And when the banks that own them pay for them, the Fed just tears up the check and puts it in the trash. They suck money out. When that starts happening, where there's less liquidity around, then short-term rates will go up. I think you've got 3 more months to wait for that.
Terry, help. We recently learned we need some very costly and necessary home repairs that will require us to refinance. What should we do, Rachel in Kankakee?
Well, if you have a 30-year mortgage, Rachel, and it's like 3.5%, you don't want to refinance your whole loan. You want to take out a home equity loan and recognize that typically, those are interest only. That makes them affordable. But in 5 years, typically, you'll have to pay off the whole amount. We should go through this interest rate cycle in 5 years. I think the Fed will get it under control. But don't refinance that whole mortgage to take the money out. See if you can get a home equity loan.
815 says, I have a farm with my sister and brother. If I sell my part of the farm and capture some cash, should I put it in a 401k? That sounds like a great way to save, but my son doesn't want me doing it now. I am 50 years old.
Well, you don't just put money in a 401k. That's typically a deduction from a paycheck. Okay, and if you have a 401k, you probably don't need an IRA and may not qualify for one depending on your income. And by the way, if you sell part of that farm, and I don't know how you're going to organize that transaction, you could have a capital gain on that transaction. So if you thought you were taking $250,000 out, you may only net, depending on what the cost basis of that farm was, you may only net after taxes $150,000.
Well, what's the largest amount of money you can shelter when you're getting a little bit of a windfall like this? You don't, and you want to try and maybe you're going to put it in the market, maybe you're not, but you want to minimize your taxes and maximize your return.
But you can't shelter a windfall like that. You can only make contributions to a 401k plan or 403b or 457 as a deduction from your payroll.
Okay.
That's a company plan.
Yeah, but what about an IRA?
You could put $6,000 in an IRA, but that $6,000 you must have had at your age, but you must have had earned income of $6,000. And so you're not going to be able to. People ask me all the time, what can I do with either my required distribution from my plan? I'm over 72. What can I do with this money to shelter it? The government's going to get its money. They're
okay.
You're going to pay
enough.
Taxes.
But then I think the bottom line to this question, right? So IRA and 401k is limited with that amount of money, and you're going to have to pay your taxes. But the point, I think what he's after at is, should I get in the market with a lot of money right now? I'm 50 years old, and the sun says, don't do that. The market's going down.
I think this person needs more help than that question. This person, no, I'm really serious, because I think there's such a misunderstanding of the potential options that you can do with this. Number one, you have to deal with the other people that own this property. Number two, you need a good CPA to tell you what the tax implications are for you and for the others. This is, if a farm is going to probably been held for a long time, there'll be capital gains. It might have other tax implications for both you and the remaining partners, and you need a good CPA to tell you about that first. Then you have to look at your entire financial plan. And I'm going to give you that website again, WealthRamp, WealthRamp.com. I'm not connected with it in the sense that I don't get anything out of it. They just finally put me on their advisory board, but I haven't advised at all. It's a service that matches you with fee only, fiduciary financial planners. Not every planner can get in. They're carefully vetted by a woman I admire and respect named Pam Kruger. And I've never been able to make a recommendation, though I know many great financial planners, especially in our listening audience. But I've never said I want to give you Joe and John and Bill and Susan and Ellen's names, because I can't do that. But I know if you go to WealthRamp, you'll go through the process, you'll get a number of choices and get matched.
In this story,
and this is where you need this.
This is a 50-year-old who's taking advice from a 25-year-old.
Well, that's a big problem for starters. That's why I mentioned WealthRamp.
And if you have $200,000 that you've captured, why not put $20,000 in for 10
straight
months?
You just were trying to get me this.
And because you're 50 and you believe that the market's going to be higher than it is now. So go ahead and just get in while it's low.
But the point is, how much of that are you willing to lose? And how do you know how low it'll go? Yeah. And if you knew it was today at the bottom, wouldn't you put it all in now? But you don't. You only know in hindsight.
WealthRamp.com.
And a lot of people have other issues in their whole entire financial planning. So you can't just say, oh, it's probably as good a time as any, or put half in.
Okay. What about this? Joyce, you're on WGN okay. Radio. Joyce, what can we do for... By the way, I'm just throwing stuff
No, I know. I love doing
you
that with
you.
You
are the expert. You are the expert.
No.
I completely defer to you.
But you are the everyman who asks, and you're asking questions that every single man and woman has. What should I do? And it all depends on the context.
Joyce, I got time for one call. Yeah. Joyce, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you. When I turned 62, I started collecting Social Security. I am 69 now. Is there a way that I could pay back all the Social Security money that I've received and then have them recalculate and start over for me?
No, Joyce. There is no way to do that. There used to be a way to do that within a year after collecting it. There is no way for that to happen, which is why I'm advising everybody to wait as long as possible. And John, let's trigger a conversation for next week.
Okay.
I talked to Larry Kotlikoff, and I said, Larry, you know, they're talking about like an 8.5% COLA for 2020 starting in January.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, you get 8% anyway. when you wait a year after your full retirement age? He said, Terry, you'll get both. I said, the 8 and maybe the 8.5, like maybe you'd get 16%. Yes, Terry, that's why you must wait till 70. He did the math for me. I wrote it down. I don't understand it at all, but we can talk about that next week. And I'm going to come back sometime after 1 o'clock, after the Fed speaks. We'll take a look at how the market reacts just for a couple of minutes.
TerrySavage.com.
Because Pete Zimmerman set it up.
I'm glad he did, and I'm glad you will. Thank you, Terry. We'll visit again soon.
Absolutely.
That's Terry Savage. You can visit with her at TerrySavage.com or stay tuned to this little radio station. Terry Savage, what do you think of the Fed raising rates 0.75 point?
The market says it's okay. The market dipped briefly into negative territory as Fed Chairman Jay Powell was talking. It is now up, the Dow anyway, up 400 points.
Okay, how is that not terrific?
And not only that, the Fed said it will probably raise, it will raise rates again in July, and it could be another 75 basis points, 0.75%, and it will actually have rates significantly higher by the end of the year, over 3%. The current, now with the new increase, 1.5 to 1.75% is this Fed's funds rate, but they are anticipating slower economic growth. They're worried that the labor market is so tight, gives them room to slow down, he said, and expect unemployment to rise a little bit. And still we'll have inflation about 5.6% this year, but they plan to get it back down to their 2% or so target over the next couple of years. What's the market reacting to? The market is reacting to the fact that the Fed looks like it's in control again. It looks like they're not worried about politics. It looks like they're not worried about what people will say. They've reclaimed some of their high ground, and that kind of confidence has given the market a little bit of help in rebounding. We'll see where it goes, but higher interest rates are in store. That's going to impact your mortgage. If you haven't gotten one yet, surely rates will be higher going forward. It'll slow the economy, surely. It'll create some unemployment, surely. But we won't be at the mercy of inflation.
Will this reduce people's spending, Terry, though? And as a result, doesn't that hurt businesses? And if businesses suffer? But then how is it that the market reacts up when ultimately this falls in the laps of retailers and businesses?
Exactly. So that's why I said we'll see where it goes. The first reaction is, hey, the Fed's, you know, they've got their hands on the reins. They're not letting this economic horse run away. But when they see, we all see the impact of not only this rate increase, but the one they've promised for July, we will, and their goal, obviously, to slow the economy. That's the only choice they have, to suck liquidity out of the economy. Mm-hmm. Fed chairman speaking now, he hasn't really commented on that. But we could see kind of a credit, they'll hope to avoid a credit crisis, a liquidity crisis, but it will definitely slow things down. And then the market will have to factor that in. This is the immediate reaction. We will see. Now we're at Dow 30,670, market up only 305 points now. So it's been swinging. I said, don't play in traffic today.
NASDAQ was up 300 just a couple of minutes ago. I'm not sure where it is this instant.
It's up 246 now.
But you won't fault me for being happy about this, right? This is not terrible news, is it?
It's not terrible news. It's good news. There's a grown-up in charge, Jay Powell. It'll be bad news for some parts of the economy where there's been excess. Excess tightness in the labor market, they're going to make sure that loosens up. Some businesses will have to lay people off.
Yeah.
And there's been excesses kind of in the stock market because that's where all the liquidity, not all of it, but a lot of the liquidity that mm-hmm. was pumped in went. So the stock market may still take a hit, but at least there's not all this uncertainty about can anybody do anything. The Fed projected we are going to do something.
That's Terry Savage, TerrySavage.com. You'll probably hear her later today or tonight. And she joins us every Wednesday on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We've got more business news now. Here is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. More than 17,000 Caterpillar employees will continue to work in Illinois when the company moves its headquarters to Texas. That's according to the governor's office. The company announced yesterday it's moving its headquarters from Deerfield to a suburb of Dallas. The company says the move is in its best strategic interest. More than 200 corporate employees based in Deerfield will be impacted by the move. Governor Pritzker calls it disappointing. The announcement comes less than 6 weeks after Boeing announced it would move its global headquarters out of downtown Chicago to near Washington, D.C. There's some good news for the retail corridor on the Magnificent Mile in Chicago after some high-profile departures. Vancouver-based women's fashion boutique Aritzia is taking over the former home of The Gap at 555 North Michigan. The store will move into 46,000 square feet there, according to the Tribune. The Gap moved out in 2021. Last year, Macy's also pulled out of Michigan Avenue with the closure of its space at Water Tower Place. Aritzia plans to open in 2023. This will be its fourth location in the Chicago area. It also has a store at 923 North Rush. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business of Food Time and Steve Alexander.
And we are happy to be sponsored today by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. One of the shockers in this time of inflation has been the price of eggs, 32% higher than last year, according to the USDA. And while a lot of that is because of supply being cut by the bird flu, it has some of us city dwellers thinking about raising chickens in our backyards. Well, can we? Should we? How do we?
Those are wonderful questions.
Brooke Bestwina and her sister Blair Gibson own The Feed Store, which has been a fixture on Harlem in Summit for decades.
Yes, it has. My grandfather, Joe, opened The Feed Store in 1948 with my grandmother.
And coming up this Saturday, the Cook County Farm Bureau is sponsoring an intro to backyard chickens at The Feed Store. And Brooke has agreed to give us a quick preview.
Can we is the first one, and that's going to be really up to where you live. Each and every village and township has different laws and different rules and regulations. City of Chicago is pretty lax. You are allowed to have chickens. But like I said, each and every township is different.
Okay. Should we?
That's really personal preference. This is a commitment. You know, these are not stuffed animals. They have to be taken care of, food and water every day. And should we is more of a conversation for the family and whoever's going to be taking care of them.
And Brooke says you can get a lot out of raising chickens besides just eggs, an average of one per day per hen, by the way.
Mm-hmm. You know, while you're gardening, you're getting things out of it, like learning as you go. And with chickens, it's the same thing. They're going to have great personalities, and they're better to watch than TV is what we tell people sometimes.
Wait, chickens have personalities?
Oh, yes, they do.
Okay. Well, we're running out of time. What's one more thing you can tell us, Brooke?
The most important thing about chicken keeping is predator-proofing where they're going to be. Chickens have no defense whatsoever.
Saturday, 10 o'clock, free of charge. You can register at the Cook County Farm Bureau website. Space is limited, and if you can't get in, you can drop by any other time. It's kind of a fun place to be.
We have turkeys and pheasants and baby chicks and pigeons. I have canaries. We have parakeets.
They don't have lobsters, though, and today is National Lobster Day. That's the Business of Food on 720. WGN.
Charlique Roll, is it Roll? Is that how I say the last name for Charlique? Our next guest, executive director at Congo Square Theater, joins us on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Charlique, it's Sean Williams. How are you today?
I am well. How are you?
Good. I hope I got the name right.
You did. Perfect, which is very rare. So thank you.
It's a lovely name, and I'm really interested in the festival on the square. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the Festival on the Square is our annual festival, one of two events that we will be hosting on our Juneteenth homecoming weekend. It was founded back in 2014 by one of our former artistic directors, really just as a celebration of art and culture of the Black community. Congo Square, you know, even from the name we inherited and really tried to hold to the culture, the Congo Square was a place in Louisiana where freed and enslaved Black African Americans met at the square on Sunday to celebrate, to sing, to dance, to just express our culture and our joy through our art. And so this event of Festival in the Square is really paying homage to that. And we're really excited to even host this on Juneteenth and the Juneteenth weekend as just a further homage to deepen our joy and celebration of the freedom and the constant plight towards freedom for African Americans in our culture, in our society, but also to celebrate our narratives and our stories. So that's going to be happening Sunday, June 19th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And then later that evening, again, continuing on with the Juneteenth celebrations, we're actually going to be having our vision benefit. It's going to be a day filled with performances. We have staged readings. We have a program called our Next Up Fellowship, which we have two young playwrights whose readings are going to be produced at our festival in the square. And then we also have in the evening, again, just multiple performances, dance, a variety of dance companies, a variety of musicians from across the city who are all working to come to this place, come to the square, and create this atmosphere of joy and celebration. So that's what's happening on that full day.
Yeah, no kidding. We're talking about the Bridgeport neighborhood, and it's also a market too, right? There's products you can buy, food, as well as the arts and entertainment.
Absolutely. So at the festival, from the 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., part of the festival, we're going to have about 8 Black vendors who will be joining us that day. So we're super excited to be able to, one, again, feature their works. Some of the vendors we have Dr. Herbal's Organic and Vegan Hair Care, Joy's Treasure Jewelry and Keepsake, Black Plant Lovers, Designs by Deb, Dress to the T, Stove Inc. Creative, Busy is a Blessing, and Detox Products, all Black-owned small businesses. So there's going to be, again, as part of this square, you get to celebrate, you get to experience the art, but you also get to patronize the Black businesses that are in our community. So we're, like, again, just being able to celebrate all of these artists and business owners that are really doing the work here.
Again, June 19th in the Bridgeport neighborhood on West 35th. The website is congosquaretheater.org to find out more. congosquaretheater.org. Okay, Charlie, good luck to you. Thanks. I hope the weather cooperates, and good luck.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, and have a wonderful day.
You do, too. It's 12:58 in WGN Radio News from the Northwest. And by it sounds like Sunday, June 19th, is going to be fan-flippin-tastic. So head on over.